Welcome to the Going Deeper podcast, where we take Sunday's sermon and go deeper so that we might know God's word and be transformed by it. Sunday was an amazing day as we saw 10 people get baptized and their profession of faith as a public profession of their faith in Christ, and just a wonderful celebration and a glorious day, and just excited to see all that the Lord is going to continue to do in and through our church. And as I was thinking about baptism, there's some questions that have been coming up about baptism. And so what I want to do in this podcast is basically just kind of do a Q&A with some questions and then answer them. I've got four questions here. Some of them are from emails that have come in. Some of them are just from conversations that I've been having with people about baptism. And so what I want to do is just do a little Q&A for you and help us kind of work through some of these questions around baptism. The first question is this. This was emailed to me, and this question came through. It's this question: when were the disciples baptized? We see the 12 disciples of Jesus, they're being commissioned at the Great Commission. We see 11 of them being commissioned there. Judas is no longer in the picture. So you have the 11 disciples who are there, and Jesus gives the Great Commission to go and to make disciples and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so if the disciples are commanded to go and baptize, the question then is, when were those guys baptized? Well, the short answer is, we don't know. We don't know the exact timing of their baptism. It's not recorded for us in the Gospels. But what we do know is that they were involved in baptism. In fact, even a couple of them, we do understand and know that they were followers of John the Baptist and therefore would have been baptized by John the Baptist as his disciples. If we look in John chapter 1 in verse 35, it says, again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So there we have a name of one of the disciples who became an apostle. There is Andrew there, the brother of Simon Peter. And the other disciple that was there as well, we don't know exactly who it was because he's the unnamed disciple. And usually the unnamed disciple is John, the apostle John, the very John who is writing this gospel here. So most likely it's John that's there. So you have Andrew and possibly John, two disciples of John the Baptist. Therefore, they would have been baptized by John the Baptist. Others possibly who were fishermen as well and would have been hanging around there would have been baptized by John the Baptist as well. But again, we don't have the exact timing of their baptism, although we do know that they were involved in baptism. In John chapter 3 and verse 22, it says, "After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing." So Jesus was there baptizing with his disciples. And most likely, It wasn't Jesus that was actually baptizing people, but he was the one who was preaching and giving the message, spreading the gospel, calling people to repent of their sins. And then it was his disciples who were baptizing. How do we know that? John chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, verse 2 tells us, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went away again into Galilee. And so we see there, Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were. And so if his disciples are involved in baptizing people, at that point, they have most likely, we could conclude from that they have been baptized themselves, either by Jesus himself or by John the Baptist. And remember what John the Baptist's message was. Repent. It was a baptism of repentance to prepare the way for the Messiah, to prepare the hearts of the people to receive the Messiah. But John the Baptist also didn't just stop with repentance, but he also pointed them to Christ. You see over and over in the first couple chapters of John where John the Baptist was giving testimony of Christ. Even when they come and ask him, why are you baptizing in John chapter 1:25? Why are you baptizing if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. So who is he talking about there? Christ. He's talking about Christ. The next day he sees Jesus and he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Right? So it's a baptism of repentance, but he's pointing to Christ. So it's repentance and faith in Christ. That's the gospel. That's the gospel message. That's what we know. Repentance and faith. Question number two, did Jesus baptize anyone? Did Jesus baptize anyone? Well, we don't know for sure if Jesus did actually do the baptizing or if it was his disciples, but most likely from John chapter 4 and verse 2, it was the disciples who were baptizing, where it says there, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were. And so John the Baptist goes and he begins this ministry of baptizing people. And then all of a sudden, Jesus gets more disciples than John the Baptist. What's going on here? Why is Jesus getting more disciples? Well, because that was the purpose of the ministry of John the Baptist, right? To point people to Christ. And John the Baptist would rejoice in that, saying, yes, guys, look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Go and follow after him. Don't be my disciple. Go be his disciple. Follow after him. Because that was the whole purpose of John's ministry anyways. And so Jesus is making all of these disciples and he's baptizing people, although John chapter 4, verse 2 says Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were. What's interesting too is that Paul talks about this in Corinthians as well. In 1 Corinthians, he talks about how he came to preach the gospel. He came preaching the gospel but his ministry was not one of baptism. In fact, there was this whole split, this division that was going on in Corinth at the time. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. They're going through all of these divisions going on, these sects within the church that are who do you belong to? I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos. And Paul comes in and says, well, why are you guys doing this? He says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one would say you were baptized in my name. Verse 16, now I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. So even Paul talks about his ministry, and he said, look, I didn't have a baptism ministry. I wasn't like John the Baptist. I had a preaching ministry. And that was the same thing with Christ. Christ had a preaching ministry. And so he's proclaiming the gospel. And as people are repenting of their sin and putting their faith in him, they are coming then to the waters, and his disciples then would be there to baptize him. Question number three, what about the 12 in Acts 19? Acts chapter 19, you see these men, there were about 12 of them, as Paul is there at Ephesus. And in Acts chapter 19, it says, it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Verse 4, Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. So there we go. Paul even tells us the ministry of John the Baptist. It wasn't just repentance, but it was also what? It was also telling the people to believe in Jesus. That was the ministry of John the Baptist. Yes, he did call the people to repentance, but he told them about Jesus. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. So what about these 12 here in Acts 19? Why were they rebaptized? Because Paul asked them this question, then in what were you baptized? Into what then when were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Well, what was John's baptism all about? Repentance. Yes, repentance. And so they would have understood that. Whoever it was that told them about John's baptism and said, you guys need to be baptized, they would have understood, okay, yes, we will be baptized into John's baptism, a baptism of repentance. But that's as far as it went. It didn't go any further. They missed the other side of the coin, because there's two sides of one coin, repentance and faith, right? But they missed the faith part because no one told them about Jesus. And so Paul said, look, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe. There's faith, repentance and faith right there in that one verse. Believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And so they missed out on Jesus. And so what does Paul do? He proclaims the gospel and tells them about Jesus. And in verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. We could even say they were re-baptized. They were baptized into John's baptism for repentance, but they didn't hear about faith in Christ. And so when they heard about faith in Christ, then they responded with baptism as a public profession now of their repentance from their sin and their faith in Christ. And that's what baptism is all about. Repenting of our sin, being washed away, being cleansed, our hearts being cleansed from our sin. And it's a public proclamation to those that are there that we are followers of Jesus. We are disciples now of Jesus, and we're going to follow after him. Question number 4, at what age should children who believe be baptized? This is a good question. Talking about children who are old enough to understand the gospel, to really understand and respond to the gospel in repentance and faith. We do believe that children can be saved. Children can understand that they are sinners who need a Savior and respond in repentance and faith in Christ. At what age then should children who believe be baptized? Here's my answer to this. Obviously, there's nowhere in Scripture where we see a children being baptized or any age that's given at what point someone should be baptized. But Here's how I respond to people who ask this question. Baptism is tied into identifying with the church. That is, baptism is tied in with membership. That is why at Faith Bible Church, when you fill out the application for membership, there's one of the questions that's on there is, have you been baptized since you have become a Christian? Since you have repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ, have you been baptized? And we have them, you have to answer this question on there. And if you answer no, then before you become a member of Faith Bible Church, you must be baptized. And so baptism is tied in with membership and identifying with the church. Now, for those of you who have gone through membership class, you understand church discipline, right? Church discipline there. And the responsibility and the accountability where if somebody is in sin, we are to go to that person and confront them. Matthew 18, we're to go to that person. That's a first step in church discipline. If that person responds without repenting of their sin, but they harden their heart towards you, then you're to take two or three with you. They don't respond in repentance, then you tell it to the church. And then after that comes excommunication if they don't respond in repentance. Now, obviously, the purpose, and we talk about this in membership class, is reconciliation. We want those that are in sin to be reconciled. Now, here's the question. How does this work out with children and being baptized? Well, when a person is baptized, they're identifying then with the church. And therefore, what we are saying is they are now accountable to the church. And therefore, they are accountable as far as church discipline even goes. That they're accountable to the elders of the church. And so the question then that I ask to parents is, are you ready or is your child, do you think your child is ready to be accountable to this? That is that they would undergo the church discipline process. That is, if they were in sin, we would go to them or someone in the church would go to them and call them to repentance. And would they be ready for that church discipline process and be accountable? And so that's where we leave it with the parents. Now, at what age are they ready to be accountable? And those children, it could be junior high school. It depends on the child and it depends on the parents as well and how the parents have raised their children and helped them through the understanding of all these things that are related to the church. Now, obviously, we understand and we know baptism doesn't add to their salvation. We know that church membership doesn't add to their salvation. And so for someone, you know, for a child who has repented of their sin and put their faith in Christ, and this is what I would tell children who would come to me when I was a children's pastor, they would come to me and they would be seeking and desiring baptism, and I would first of all, tell them you need to go and talk with your parents about this. But secondly, I would remind them, I would tell them, look, you desiring baptism is awesome. That is so good because that's what a true Christian should desire. Obedience to Christ, to be baptized. That's wonderful. But look, your baptism doesn't add anything to your salvation. It doesn't make you more saved. It doesn't secure your salvation. And so I would just tell them, you need to talk with your parents about this and help the parents work through this with their child. And parents, we need to work through this with our own children that are desiring baptism. That is, baptism means identifying with the church. In church membership, are they now ready to now come under the accountability of the elders of the church and be accountable even to their brothers and sisters around them? Are they ready for that? And parents, they understand and they know their children and they'll recognize and realize when that time is. And so that's my response. At what age should children who believe be baptized? Well, that's up to the parents. I always leave that to the parents to decide. Are they ready? Would they be ready to go through baptism and then pursue a membership of the church and be accountable to the church? And the parents will ultimately be able to help decide that for their children. So those are some questions that have come up on baptism. I hope that you enjoyed the sermon on Sunday on baptism, just clarifying what Christ commands us to do as believers, that first response of obedience to being baptized and giving that public proclamation. And it was just such a joy to see those 10 who were there being baptized on Sunday, and just excited to see all that the Lord is going to do in their life and how they are going to continue to edify us in the church as well. And so just a wonderful and exciting time. Hey, I want to remind you about this Sunday. This Sunday coming up, David Wheaton will be preaching on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. We're excited to have him come and preach for us. So I hope that all of you can make it there. Have a blessed week and hope to see you on Sunday morning.